Hello and welcome to the Parent Survival Kit Podcast. From surviving to thriving in your household, my name is Gene Schwelen. Next to me, as always, my beautiful bride, Dr. Sonia Schwelen, pediatric psychologist expert and nationally certified school psychologist. And we have a very special guest today. We have David Clipper Rowe, who is joining us from Christ Fellowship. And we're going to bring biblical, principles into our kids, our parents, and how can we deal with some things that our kids may be struggling with.
So
let's have David just kind of tell the audience a little bit about himself too, if that's okay.
Yeah,
and then we'll jump in because I think that would be really valuable.
Yeah, we went deep end right away. So I'm David Clipper Rowe. I'm executive pastor of ministry at Christ Fellowship, a non-denominational church right here in McKinney, and I've been on team for 17, 18, it may be 19 years now, sort of lost track. That's what happens is you get more gray hairs and less of them. spent 20 years prior to that in the business world, running business units for a Fortune 100 company. And through the Lord's leading, made a funny transition from the secular world to the spiritual world. That's a whole nother story. And I came on as our children's pastor, and I did that for several years and then graduated up to our next-gen pastor, which included our students. And I didn't mess them up too bad, is what I say, and so they gave me more responsibility. And so I love kids. I love being a dad. I've got three kids. They're all grown. We're on even years this year, 28, 26, 24. That's how I keep track of it all. And I have three incredible grandsons, and I'm incredibly blessed to have them all live here in McKinney,
That's really nice.
That's awesome.
So I like to say I've got a redo for some of you grandparents out there. I know if you're in the club, you know what I'm talking about.
More wisdom, right?
Yeah. I said earlier that, you know, this one line we're laughing about, that youth is wasted on the young. There's a lot of woulda, coulda, shoulda. And I get to do some redos is the way, with the things that are really super important. I think that's part of what grandparents bring to the party.
Well, I think that's really important for our parents to understand too, is that when you're actually in it, it's a lot harder to really see what's going on and the impacts you may or may not be having based on what you're dealing with your kids and with everything else that goes on in this world and trying to keep up with the Joneses and all the other things and pressures that we have to face.
I think that is an incredibly appropriate and right on statement. You know, when we're young, we're trying to figure out who we are, literally who we are. We're trying to figure out if we're believers, you know, what's God's will and plan for my life. If I'm not a believer, okay, how do I put, you know, food on the table? What am I doing? Am I happy doing it? And then you have a little tiny human come along, and then things get really nutso. Your relationship with the most important person in your life changes because you're a different person with a screaming child at 3 o'clock in the morning. I watched their poop and pee episode, and so, you know, I realized that changes the dynamic here a little bit. And as the years roll by and more kids roll by, you get better at it. You never quite master it, right? There's no perfect parenting. But you've seen a thing or two, as the commercial says, so you know how to manage that, and you get better at it. And you reach a point as a grandparent, you're like, oh, if I knew this then, maybe I wouldn't have screwed my kids up that much. Just kidding.
Well, I tell my wife that all the time.
That's very encouraging, though.
You know, if I would have known something, because we are a blended family, had I known some of the things she's taught me.
Yes, you do say
that's
that
right.
All the time.
With my oldest, who just graduated from high school, man, I mean, he's going off to college, so I think I did a great job somewhat. I didn't scream up too bad, as you said. But I think with parents, one of the things that we try to do more of, and you mentioned it before, but before we started recording, is that, you know, when our little kids come, we have all these great plans, and we talked about this in other episodes too, but we have all these plans for our kids. They're going to be this doctor or this or that or whatever we want them to be. So we're more focused on the activities and the schooling and whatnot, and some of those things are important for sure in development, but what's more important is relationship, and we're made to be relational. And so some of the things you guys are doing in church these days is you're really more focused on loneliness, anxiety, and addiction. And I think it's very, very important because our families are facing all three of those things in a lot of ways. Our kids are facing those as well. And so I think we should talk about that.
Yeah, I think sort of nuggets of wisdom right here. everybody wants an Excel spreadsheet for their life that you just put the variables in and you don't have to think about it, work too hard, and you get the same result over and over and over
again. I don't want that. I think only type A people say that.
That's the way I want it to be, right? I'm sort of a type A sort of controller person, and you're regularly scanning the event horizon for DEFCON 5 sort of events, right? And so that's not the way that the creator has set it up. You know, there's what, 8 billion people currently alive. How many of them are the same?
Not a single one.
I mean, identical twins, they look the same, but they think and process differently. And so we want predictability. The story of the Bible is a move from chaos to peace. And we look for that everywhere we possibly can. We try and eliminate things in our lives that cause us angst and anxiety and chaos. And the reality is that the Lord's not set it up that way. If he had, we'd be in eternity in heaven with him right now, for eternity future. And so the process of transformation into the likeness of the Creator is through doing life this side of eternity. And when we put tiny humans, or, you know, not so tiny humans into our life, it sort of stirs it up in a way that touches our heart in ways that a business relationship or a professional relationship wouldn't. I mean, I know in my own life, the struggles and the angst and the anxiety that we have and we struggle with the most has always been around our kiddos. I mean, they're the most important possessions. Oh, wait a minute. That's wrong. They're not our possessions, mm-hmm. right? They're the creators who's given them to us for a short amount of time so that we can grow them up, but they can grow us up. And that is a process, and it's not easy, and it's not clean. And it's very messy, but in the process, with the right perspective, we are transformed more and more into the likeness of the Creator. You know, because my perspective is a biblical perspective. But what I'm observing of late is, as you said, Gene, an increase in anxiety and loneliness and distance, and in some cases, very real addictions. Yeah. Our kiddos. And if parents were freaked out before, I'm seeing, you know, greater and greater sort of freaking out, if you will, on both of those constituencies. And I think we were talking earlier about the intersection between church and professional counseling. And the last year, we've seen a really rapid increase in that as we've been forced into tight spaces with people. You know, that doesn't go well when you don't have the opportunity. So.
Yeah, and it comes down to ultimately what type of relationship do we have with those around us? You know, we talk about spouses being in tight quarters because of COVID, working from home for a long period of time. Just the domestic violence we saw increase substantially. Abuse, all the things that go into that.
Divorce rates.
Yes. You know, and when you think about it, it's because we haven't had the type of relationship with our spouses that we should have. And then also even with our kids, just the, you know, the relationships that we had with kids, you know, being all together really wasn't what we probably should have as well. And it created a lot of, obviously a lot of anxiety, a lot of frustrations, obviously a lot of quarrels. And it comes down to, like, you know, you talk about loneliness as one of the things that Christ Fellowship is really looking into and really focused on. You know, what people don't really understand is loneliness is not for those singles out there who I'm lonely because I don't have a mate. Loneliness comes in all different shapes and sizes. You could have all the friends in the world and you could have 3,000 followers on Facebook and all these things, but be the loneliest person out there, because it's really about having a really intimate relationship. Someone who actually knows you and understands you, that's where people start getting lonely, when they don't have that really intimate relationship in their life.
And so, you know, our vision at Christ Fellowship is about addressing those issues in a way where there's some intentionality towards moving towards having meaningful conversations. You know, so I think guys in particular are perhaps worse at this. I mean, I have a lot of guys in my life. But I've had to work really, really hard to have some guys in my life that know me, right? And so that's the tagline, that we are known and loved. I think there's a lot of people that know us. I know Gene and Sonia, and a lot of people that know David, but do they know David? And so because our lives are so busy, and because we have to deal with a lot of mess, and because we want peace, we don't naturally move towards messiness, because that is not predictable. That is, if I ask you a question, you know, how are you doing, you know, Gene? Oh, I'm doing great. Are you? You know, I noticed that you haven't been to church in a while. Or, hey, I saw something, you know, where it gave me... Do we ask that follow-up question? And we don't, because that means, I call it the four-hour principle. You know, if I have a conversation with somebody that comes in for pastoral counseling, that's a four-hour. Yeah. I've got to unpack your story. I've got to listen with all the great listening skills that you've taught us how to do, Sonia. And then I'm in the, how can I walk with you? How can I, and what do? How can I put somebody in your life that is going to slow down enough, that's going to be available to you to really get beyond just that? And that is really super hard to do. And so I talked about the Excel spreadsheet sort of mentality, but having somebody in your life that really knows you at a deeper, more, you know, deeper than just a surface level, not a lot of people have that. And so when we talk about reducing loneliness, addiction, and anxiety in our community, we're talking about, hey, would you be willing to invest yourself beyond the surface level in the lives of another person?
Yeah.
And it could be people inside your family. I mean, that's, you know, we hear these stories of divorce rates where, you know, the reason that we spend a lot of time together is through our children or our hobby. And when that is removed, we've got, you know, 20, 30 year marriages, people looking across the table and saying, I don't really know who you are, because our lives were intertwined with this other third party thing. Now it's gone, and we haven't made this investment in each other. And so we're making a real strong push to encourage people to say no to some good things, but say yes to the things that the Creator wants us to say yes to. At the end of the day, you know, my car, my golf club, my TV show, I'm a runner, you know, I'm a Premier League guy. That's not going to come with me to eternity. But, you know, Gene and Sonia are.
Yeah.
So wouldn't I want to invest in the things that the Creator says he wants to invest, you know? But that's hard to do.
Yeah, well, you mentioned, you know, it's kind of more of a difficult conversation for guys to have. I mean, because we're strong, we're tough, there's nothing wrong, we're okay, you know, we got this. We can bear the burdens on our shoulders and whatnot, right? But it comes down to also people, you know, kind of like, do I really want to know really what's going on? Because it's like that 4-hour conversation. Do I really want that burden? Oh, I don't have time. Let me get back with you. Let me come see you later on. And then also COVID hit, and it gave us a VIP front row ticket to being secluded. And so it's really like encouraged more people to live separate and not be engaged and whatnot. And that's caused, as we've seen through the mental health clinic and through Next Steps Worldwide, we've seen just a humongous increase in loneliness, anxiety, addiction. You know, with addiction, you know, the underlying conditions of addiction, a lot of times, you know, in a lot of cases are anxiety and or loneliness, or the combination of both of them, right?
No, absolutely. And, you know, I'm sitting here listening and I'm thinking about the initiative is to help people ask that follow-up question, really invest time and energy into getting to know someone else and building that relationship. But I think it's also really good for us to be able to talk about being on the receiving end of that, right? Because as people lately here, even more, we're so used to being alone. We're so used to not reaching out, not being vulnerable, not taking the risk and even letting somebody in. I think that's important to talk about, is how do you even let your guard down enough to actually answer a question when someone does take the time to follow up? And I love what you said about starting with your own family, right? Because at Next Steps, we talk about our core values, and one of them is integrity. Well, whenever we ask new hires, you know, what does integrity mean to you? They always say, oh, doing the right thing when no one's looking. Mm-hmm. And I always say, well, it's actually doing the right thing even when your family is looking. Because it's usually behind closed doors, right, with your family,
they know us,
that people don't do the right thing.
Yeah.
And yet everyone's out there pretending like everything's okay and we're all fine. And I think that's true integrity, right?
Well, and I think, you know, just to kind of piggyback off of that, I don't really think it's necessarily somebody at home just letting their guard down and not doing the right thing intentionally at home. It's we don't have those other people in our lives to where we can actually turn to talk about some of the frustrations, some of the things we're going through. I mean, you don't talk about those things or you don't have an outlet for some of those things, it's going to come out somewhere, and it's usually going to be in the home because those are the people that you love the most, and you kind of, you know, expect them to be able to deal with it, understand you more, I guess, or it's just a little bit more comfortable than, you know, being vulnerable somewhere else.
Yeah, and boy, there's a lot to what you both said. In
let's
in
unpack
there,
right? It.
Is that again, with the wisdom of perspective, you know, I'm not saying that I'm super wise, but looking back, I we're about ready to do this series on idols at the church. It's going to be really fascinating, right? And so, you know, at the center of idol worship is really yourself, right? And so I think in the home, we have currently or progressively over the last several decades, our desires have we have become increasingly focused on the I at the middle of what we're doing. And so with the amount of work that we're doing, with the instantaneous access to technology, the ability to do work at home. I mean, part of the issue with COVID was I'm working at home now. Working at home and I'm living at home and I'm teaching at home is just too much of something that you can't manage. And our
it's even called an iPhone.
Well, and companies, that's
that
true
just
too.
Popped into my brain.
Well, and companies have really researched that, and they have realized that they get more work and more hours and more production on people at home because people will work longer because they're at home and they're in their chair.
Well, and I think the casualty there, right, is the things that are important, right, which we will get around to someday. And I think this is probably a good perspective of really having a long-term perspective, you know, specifically raising our children. I mean, We'll get around to it. We'll get around to their spiritual development. We'll get around to spending time with them. We'll get around to investing in things that are eternal. And we never get around to it because we're at the center of our world or, you know, in the middle of it. And I think a lot about conquering these issues is throwing ourselves out and really having the right perspective of the right things at the right time. And part of that is, I mean, the selfie, the iPhone world is about a quick fix world, right? So I can find anything right now, anywhere, anytime. And we're putting that up against something that's not a quick fix, right? So the parenting course that I'm currently recommending is Doug and Kathy Fields, Intentional Parenting, and the tagline is, in a quick fix world. And so we got these things, you know, we're creating something that is intentionally meant to be created over a period of time, and we're trying to crucibleize it, you know, compress it into something that was never meant to be that way. And no wonder we wind up with overstressed, you know, anxious, addicted kids because, you know, what are the role models, right? Yep. I mean, I love what Doug and Kathy Field says is your life as a mom and dad is a 24-hour movie that's playing out in front of your kiddos. And, you know, the old adage, you know, you don't catch what's taught, you catch what's walked, right? So
you say that all the time. It's not taught, it's caught.
Yeah, it's not taught, right. It's caught. Yeah, well, and you say it all the time, it's you know, you're always on. Like, as a parent, you're always on.
Yeah.
You're always being viewed, and that's why everything is caught and not taught. And just, you know, talking about intentional parenting, we talk about being intentional every single episode, you know, and coming back to that spreadsheet that you love so much. I'm a spreadsheet type of guy as well. but it comes down to, like, the intentional parenting. Like, you know, if we're so focused on the most important things in our schedule and the things that we have to do, we can intentionally focus on, well, we need some self-time. We need some meditation time. We need some time in the Bible ourselves. We get up at 4:30 in the morning just to have that time before the kids wake up.
Yeah.
But then we are intentional about having our study time with our kids, doing a study program with them every morning at breakfast. We have to make that time. So it's a part of our actual spreadsheet because we time block everything something that we teach just to make sure that we...
It's not my spreadsheet.
It's my spreadsheet. Yeah. It's time blocking.
Yeah.
But it's important. You don't really know. The problem with a lot of parents is that we have all these great intentions, but we're not intentional for those intentions. And a day always gets away. Yes. So you have to time block. And I, you know, I teach even our staff and training, you know, that you have to really you have to really figure out and journal everything that you're doing each day and how much time you're spending doing those things, because you're going to figure out really quick where you're really doing more things than not. And then you can be creative with finding out, okay, well, I don't have to do this all the time, and I can do this in less time if I'm focused, and then we can spend more time doing the things we really want and need to do.
And I think what's important is to create space that is unprogrammed time. I think, you know, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 talks about, you know, is the passage, right, for parenting, the Shema, right, is that, you know, we got to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and then we're going to pass it on to our kids. And how are we going to do that? We're going to do it two ways. We're going to do it intentionally. The breakfast time, right, that you do. But how long is your breakfast time in the course of the time that you're up from 4:30 to, you know, whenever you go to bed at night? It's a tiny little sliver. What's the rest of your time? The rest of the time is the along the way, walk along the way time. And what we want to do is we want to program it. We want to say, hey, okay, let me get into this 30 minutes or whatever it is, and I'm going to tell you the way it is, and now go execute the plan. That's not the way it works out. And so I used to tell this story a lot, and I'm going to tell it to you guys, is that I'm not a really good handyman person. I'm really good at breaking stuff. I'm not really good. I'm always like, oh, I got an extra screw or two here, and I know it's supposed to go in that thing, but you know, maybe it'll just stand on its own without it, right? So there's a lot of Home Depot. And when I go to Home Depot, I've always forgotten one thing, so I'm multiple trips is never. Anyway, what I used to do is I would say to my kiddos, "Hey, we're going to go to Home Depot, right?" And what I began to know was, and they would hate going to Home Depot because I'm just, you know, it's no. Anyway,
you're there forever trying to find what you want, right?
Exactly. And I'm not going to ask for directions because you know that's a thing. It's like, what aisle is the, you know?
See, how do you open yourself up to actually being vulnerable beyond the receiving end of getting that help?
Yeah. That's another episode. But anyway, here's the story: is that this is an along the way, right? So I've tried to do formal, I'm a children's pastor, right? It's like, hey, Sunday afternoons, I've spent a couple hours preparing this really phenomenal devotion that I'm going to do with my kiddos. And then the time, and then they don't want to do it. And then I get frustrated, and then it gets messy because it's inside closed doors. And I'm the children's pastor, and I'm embarrassed because I acted in this way. Please don't tell anybody at the church because I might lose my job, sort of thing. But what I realized was that if I created opportunities to do things with my children along the way that was unprogrammed. We're going to go to Home Depot. And I can't tell you the number of times that it would not be a word said because they didn't want to go to Home Depot. But on the way home, something is said. And I have been circling my neighborhood in the car. I mean, like, I can pull into the driveway right now, but wait, my 16-year-old son, who doesn't say anything but grunts every once in a while, is now talking to me about, it's like, hey, I will drive to Waco and back just to keep this. So the power of unprogrammed, unstructured, just doing time without this little thing.
Sure.
I was telling you about our camp experience over the summer with our kiddos. We take 120 plus kiddos to camp, usually first through sixth grade. No technology. There's no phones. There's no TVs. We can't even go into the dorm during the course of the day. And they have some structured things, but they have a lot of unstructured things. And one of the things that sort of, you know, gets my heart racing in a good way is seeing multi-generational kiddos, multi-gender kids, just acting as kids, just having fun. I was coining this phrase earlier, that they are free to wander, W-O-N-D-E-R, and wander, W-A-N-D-R, within the confines of that space, just to be kids and explore the way that God's created them without this rush. Hey, I've got, you know, football today, dance tomorrow, choir on Wednesday, you've got church on whatever, and then was like, oh, they're stressed out back to the addiction and anxiety. Kids aren't meant, they're not wired.
Well, it's funny you said too about technology, because Gino has gone to, you know, all the way from young age, all the way through high school. He went to camp every summer, Camp Wow. And then he also went on like some trailblazer mission trips and whatnot. And so they never were allowed to take technology. And what's funny, being, you know, involved in the church for a long time in that area, is that it was actually usually more the parents that had the bigger issue with the kids not having technology allowed to go with them than the kids not being able to take their technology.
Why? Because it's a safety blanket, right? I mean, it's blanket. Like, hey, I'm I'm not going to intentionally invest in you, and I'm going to let the silver screen be the babysitter.
Yeah.
And so, and then parents don't know how. They don't. I mean, it's just a self-fulfilling sort of thing over a period of time, is that I'm used to letting this little thing, pointing to my cell phone, be the babysitter, that I've not developed the skills or ability to have a meaningful conversation with the people that are most important in my life, which is my children.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even with our son, this afternoon, he had his first day where he actually was waiting tables. He's been working to go forever at a restaurant here locally. And, you know, so he actually had the chance to wait tables today for the very first time. It was supposed to be next Wednesday, but I guess they had somebody that called out today. And so they threw him in. And, you know, he's texting me, you know, asked him how it was going. And so I said, hey, just give me a call whenever you're on your way home or before you head home, actually. Because kids and even parents text so much, and there is no meaningful conversation, and you can't ask the question. It's like, hey, man, just give me a call. You know, so I have to remind him all the time to, you know what, just actually call me. Texting is for like, hey, I made it here. I'm safe. I'm on the way home. Those type of things, just a quick one statement type of thing that I just need to know. But if it's going to be a conversation, I don't want to have a conversation by text. I want to talk to you. You know, and I think a lot of parents do that with their kids.
The Holy Spirit sort of squeezes my heart. I don't want to show you my texting, because I've had all texts with all three of my kiddos during the course of the day. But it really is. I mean, I realize that is a preferred medium because it's quick and it's fast. But
yeah.
Boy, we all know the all of the other non-verbal stuff that goes along.
It's so important, right? Yeah.
When I wanted to hear
the voice to voice conversation.
I mean, that's why I watched the podcast before I came here. I was like, okay, I got this email about what we're going to do. Let me actually see and hear what it's going to be like so I can get a sense of the tone.
So what I heard you say, though, is, you know, with the series on Idol, I mean, I'm going to connect this and put this all together for a second. We, you know, it's good to be intentional. It's good to be spreadsheeted and organized about our intentionality. But we don't want to idolize the spreadsheet either.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
We need to be in the moment and prioritize that sacrifice, right? And meet the need of the person in front of us anytime it can come up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the thing is, I mean, Satan is always at work. We're talking about spirituality. I mean, so all those planned, great devotionals you have, Satan's going to always try to come up with some way to detour that. And one kid has to use the bathroom. One kid gets frustrated. Somebody's yelling. Somebody's screaming. And of course, you know, one that control, we want all three to be right there from the very beginning, the whole entire time. Everyone's engaged and focused. That never works out that way.
And why do we do that? Because I want to be the good dad. I want to check the box, and I want the selfie moment. Wouldn't it be, how many people are taking selfies of them leading their kiddos?
Hey,
look at me. Look at me. I'm the good guy right here. And so
Facebook. Hey, just devotional time. Facebook, you know.
Yeah, I think, you know, our worship leaders are at a worship conference this week, and our leader was saying, hey, I'm attending a session on planned spontaneity. Just think about those two words together, right? Planned spontaneity. I get that in the terms of his context, but the context that you're talking about is, hey, look, I mean, you can create space and you can have a plan.
But we planned spontaneity today.
We did. I meant to say it earlier on, but I was like, yeah, because I showed
David
up. We were going to talk about it. We're just going to be spontaneous.
Well, you texted earlier and you said, well, what are we talking about today? So we'll figure it out when we get there.
I'm like, oh, my heart flitted for a little bit because it's a problem here. But I do, to your point, Gene, I think that is so super important because we don't want that, right? I want to be in control of that. And when we insert space that is unplanned, I don't live in that world, first of all. You know, and I'm going to segue into our personal relationship with the Lord here because that's super important. You said you get up at 4:30 and you submit your day to the Creator. You know, I'm a morning person too, and that's my rhythm, right? Is that, hey, these are my plans for the day, but I certainly want to be available and receptive to what your plans might be that might be contradictory to my plans. And we don't live in that space. We don't live in that space well, because I've allowed other non-important things to invade it, and they have become idols, or they have consumed what should be an opportunity for me to invest in other people's lives. And unfortunately, just to bring it full circle for kiddos, we don't invest in these little works in progress that are looking to us to help them, you know,
help them grow up
and launch well.
Well, and when we plan these conversations and these devotionals and these Bible verses, you know, another thing that happens too is that they may not be in that same mindset or, you know, when we call the Holy Spirit in, he's going to speak to us through what's going on in that daily action. So when we're planning things with our kids and we're trying to be so intentional in a planned way, we don't even know kind of where they're at the moment more times than not. So we're going through the motions and they're not receiving anything. So we may think we're doing this great thing and we have all these great verses we're talking about, but if they're not really receiving it, you know, the way they need to, it's all for nothing. So it's really more about that engagement with them and trying to just be more intentional as far as really, you mentioned it a couple episodes ago as well, just meeting them on their level where they're at, joining their world, and then calling the Holy Spirit in to really just be able to relate to them in different ways in that moment.
Boy, there's so much in there too. And I just, this is an area for me where I've struggled. I mean, I am a teller. I'm not an asker. I saw a parenting profile where they were talking about drill sergeants and helicopter parenting and law. I want to tell you the way it is because I've got some wisdom here. I mean, that's going to hurt. Don't do that, right? And that's what we try and do because that's a simple. If you just do what I tell you you're going to do, it's going to work out well for
life's
you.
Life's going to be great.
Yeah, life's going to be great, right? And even if
for all of us,
because right? We don't want people to hurt or be pain, experience pain, and but the reality is that's part of the process, right? The biggest learnings of my life have been the failings in my life. I mean, I can talk about being a better parent, not because I was a great parent, because I was a crummy parent a lot of times, and it's like I've got some experience here, and so, but we don't want to do that. And I think I talked a lot about Type A people. I'm a Type A person. I mean, if everything went the way I wanted to go, everybody would be great. Yeah. But I wouldn't be great.
Right? Well, one of the greatest sayings in the business world is telling is not selling, right?
Yes.
And when it comes down to it, too, you know, one thing I used to love about Zig Ziglar, he used to talk about like taking your family and marriage from a business approach. When we talk about business, I mean, I do it all the time in business, that the one way we succeed faster is to double your rate of failure. And that made me also a really great coach for our kids, because when I coached baseball and basketball for our kids, and parents used to love it. I used to tell our kids, look, you're going to fail, and that's great. You know, we fail forward. So if you're not failing, you're not growing. Yeah. But when it comes to parenting, we don't want our kids to fail ever. We want to be that helicopter parent, or we want to make sure that we're giving them all the instruction and don't do this, don't do that. But that failing is how they learn how to succeed. And it also builds perseverance, character, so many different qualities that you can't teach that they have to just learn on their own,
right?
With support.
Right. And our busyness and our filling of our bucket with the things that we want to do, how we want to do, thinking of life as a sprint and not a marathon, all works against that.
Yeah.
Boy, if you doing your kids' homework, guilty,
Well, it's funny you said that too, because I struggle with this as well, like that, trying to achieve things, by a certain time and whatnot. And so I was playing tennis last night. I play men's doubles every Tuesday night with a bunch of guys and all different ages. I'm usually one of the younger ones. I used to be one of the youngest ones, but that was a while back. But, the guys I was playing with last night, one of the guys was 70 years old, but he's being extremely fit. And I found myself for a quick moment, and I didn't even share this with you, but I found myself for a moment thinking, he's 70. He's on the tennis court, and he's a really good player. So he was getting to balls and whatnot. I mean, he was very, very active, very athletic. So you would think he was like in his young, mid-40s, like myself. I'm thinking, wow, so I have another 26 years ahead of me if I'm granted that, if I'm blessed with that. Of course, I don't have that decision, but granted that I do have another 26 years, that's a lot of time. I'm like, my son just graduated high school, and we just finished his orientation, freshman orientation at college yesterday afternoon, and I'm thinking about all these things that he's done or he's been through or experienced in his 18 years. I'm like, I got another, 26 yes. years to get to even that level. What's life going to look like, and what's going to be accomplished, and what am I going to do for the next 26 years? Like, man, I could take a breather, and it's okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why are we in such a hurry?
Yeah.
We don't need to be.
Yeah. And I think that's one great thing that, the problem with our kids today is that things are caught more than taught. And we all know that if we really sit back and think about it, everything that we are today is basically kind of how we were raised as kids. And we may, you know, we always strive to be better, and not that our parents weren't great, but try to do things better than our parents did, which is also a, you know, something good to have. But how are we leading our kids? Like all these activities, you know, one sermon that has always stuck with me for years and years, our pastor a long time ago at the other church that we were with many years ago, he did a New Year's sermon, and he made reference, and he was in McKinney, at First McKinney for a long time, Pastor Jeff, and he talked about, he made a funny reference as a joke about all the soccer moms here in McKinney, and you had all the stick figures, all the kids, and little Susan, you had all the little things, little Susie's in cheerleading, and she's in ballet, and little Johnny's, he's in baseball, and basketball, and piano, and so you have all these things and whatnot, and he's like, you know, our resolutions, we're always thinking about things that we need to do as a resolution. Like, I'm going to do this year. It's my New Year's resolution. He's like, we should take things off our plate. If you look at our households, we're running little Johnny from here, then Susie here. We're dropping this person off, going here, and we're grabbing dinner on the go. And there's no time to sit back and just relax with our kids. And so this fast-paced world, never-ending, we got to do this, we got to accomplish this, we have to have this. If we're not doing this, we're not meeting this other family's, you know, little Johnny or little Jim over here, he's doing these things, you know. So, like, we feel like we're behind, like, we're bad parents, like, you know, and we even do that, like, you know, our three-year-old, you know, he's not in anything yet. And these parents over here, they got three-year-olds that are doing, like, five different things. We're like, oh, my gosh, we're missing the boat, you know, and, like, we're going insane, but we're really not. And what happens is that parents are teaching kids to live that way, and they're catching this,
yes,
and it goes on for their life, and they pass it on to their kids. So we really need to slow down as a society, be more relational, come to the table, have some intentionality, be vulnerable with each other, and live life in community.
Amen.
Amen.
But it's incredibly hard to do. I mean, I just along those lines, I had a person in a life group. You're a church of small groups, you guys know that, and had a young family, and they were committed not to get on that treadmill, right? And then new neighbors moved next door, and they had a daughter that was the same age as their daughter, and that was a family didn't have the same ideals that they had, and a little kindergarten daughter got into dance class. And because they had both had kiddos the same age, it was like, oh, I think my daughter should get into that same dance class. So they got into dance class. And then dance class was on a church night. And so now they have a decision to make. You know, it's like, oh, do I have a friend that my daughter really loves, and the opportunity cost of doing that? Or do I say, no, we're not going to do that? And it just starts so insidiously, and it becomes just one thing. It was just one night a week. Okay, so we could skip every night. But then they got another daughter who has another friend or has another interest, and now we got dance on one night, we got soccer on another. Now we have a tournament, and I got to travel. But this friendship is really – and so the setting your family goals and being intentional about what you're going to invest in and what you're willing to say no to, you know – ahead of time really does help craft how you spend your time and how you invest over time and really become the kind of parent instilling and passing on the kind of values that not only you talk about but are acted out in real tangible and practical ways as you do your, you know, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, whatever that looks like. And to your point, is it, we're building a building foundation up. We're not like get up one day and here's, you know, little graduated Johnny, you know, it's formed, and it's formed with successes and failures, and it's over time. I mean, it just doesn't happen. And so, but we want a quick fix world. I just want, give me the pill. You know, I'm just sure you get that all the time, right? Say, hey, can you just give me the
pill?
Wait
a second, you don't prescribe medication?
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, well, when we talk about, and Jeremiah talks about the plans I have for you, right? And so I read a book to schools when I go, to do readings and whatnot, and you know, it talks about the plans I have for you. And, you know, Dr. Swain just went to get her hair did about a week ago. And so her hairstylist has a 3-year-old daughter or 4-year-old daughter. who rides horses and does like tricks and all these like amazing things on these horses. She's like, oh my gosh, this kid's only 3 or 4 years old. And like, you know, Zaya, what is Zaya doing? You know, like we get that, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
You know, we watch America's Got Talent and you see these little kids doing these things. It's like, you know, God has plans for everyone, you know, and they're specific, you know, for right now, for at the moment, for this world. And so we have to let God do his will. And encourage and try things and do all that stuff. But again, it comes down to, again, those core values that you establish as a family and what's most important. Because, you know, you mentioned the family and the dance. I think it's something that also happens a lot of times, even with Christian families. You know, so my neighbor now is doing dance on Wednesday. That's a church night. But, well, number one, do we not do dance or do we do dance because of that friendship we want to establish? Number one. Number two is, if we decide not to do dance, do we even tell them that we can't do it because of church? Like, they're going to think we're weird. Like, you know, you can't do dance because of church. I mean, that is a mentality out there, too. It's like we don't want to rock the boat or be that weird Christian out there, you know, and have people view us a certain way.
That's a whole other can. You know, as a pastor with children, with pastor's kids, and I've fallen into that. I mean, you can swing the pendulum the other way, right? No. It's like, hey, every opportunity that we can, we're going to be at church, and that's not healthy either. Is that, you know, we need to be able to practically live it out. You said something earlier on, Gene, about we have to view parenting our kids through the unique creations that our kids are, and there's not a one-size-fits-all, and I think you probably have your unfair share of counseling sessions with parents that are trying to replicate little mini mom and dad. And the reality is that's not the way it's meant to be. And the reality is God's not meant it to be that way. I mean, God's like, hey, given you that strong-willed child because, you know, you need mom and dad to be able to be shaped by, you know, that particular issue that drives you crazy every single time that nobody else can, but only your strong-willed child can.
Well, that's why we have a daughter to show Dr. Swellen what, you know, what being a girl sometimes can look like, and also give me patience in some ways to understand, like, you know, wow, girl, because I do it all the time. I, like, you know, a little two-year-old, almost two-year-old, she does some things, I'm like, she's just a girl, and I appreciate that. So I've got to appreciate that my wife too, right? I mean, it's like it goes all the way around. It doesn't matter, girls are girls, boys are boys. You know, we did this this conference we talk about quite often, love and respect.
Oh yeah,
and we love the analogy of the
pink
blue
ears and the blue ears and the pink voice and the blue voice, right?
It's true, right?
Yes.
So, do you have anything else you want to ask about while we have another quick moment? Or
I mean, I'm still thinking about intentionality and you know, on this show before we've talked about parents being disciplined and instilling self-discipline in their children, and they do that through modeling it and living it out and being the movie that their child is watching 24/7. And it's just making me think about discipline again. It's you know, figuring out what really matters and then running that race, you know, just like the Bible says, just running that race and keeping your eyes on that finish line. Mm-hmm. Because our entire lives, every single day, we're going to have distractions. And we need to be okay saying no to those distractions and just showing the world what really matters to you. If you are single-mindedly focused on Christ, since we're taking that biblical perspective, it's also about knowing how to say no when anything takes that focus away.
And I think it's also about giving yourselves grace when you aren't disciplined. And I think that's a massive issue, that this perfectionistic, you've got it all together all the time, is just that's just not reality. And I think we were talking earlier about what happens inside the home when you don't think anybody else is looking. And your parents know, or your kids know that you're not perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, right now, I had this, so I got a six-year-old grandson, right? And so I'm granddad and my wife is G. And so we have the privilege of looking after them on Friday afternoons, or Friday, all day, pretty much Friday. And so for the first time, he started playing us against each other. And I'm like, he's 6 years old. Where does he learn that from, right? It's like he knew that I was going to ask, he wanted more candy. And I'm like, I'm a granddad. My job is to candy up my kiddos. But there is a limit, right? And I thought, oh, I might have crossed the limit right here. So I said no. What he went into shares, you know, into G and asked the same question. And because we're experienced, her question was, What did Granddad say?
Yeah.
Because she knew what was happening. Wisdom. But I forgot where I was going with this. But I knew where I was going to go. It was the when you screw up, because it's not an issue of if you could, you know, it's when you screw up or you feel like you haven't done the right thing, is having enough grace to be able to say, I'm sorry, I messed up there, or I used my words, to be able to model not only the behaviors that you want to have play out in your children, but to be able to model your failures in a way that they can replicate as they mess up and as they fail. And of course, you know, as believers, I mean, we have somebody that, you know, stepped out of eternity to pay the price that we couldn't pay for our mess up, so that we could one day spend eternity. And so we're not good at that. And I think this model of busyness, this busyness and perfectionistic, and everybody's got to be everything to anybody, is just so harmful for reality. And as you said, right, bring it back to the beginning, Gene, in the confines of our home with the people that we do life with, our kiddos know. They know how mom is going to approach a situation, and they know how dad's going to approach a situation. And how do they learn that? How do they know that? Because they've learned it. They've watched it. It's like, oh, I didn't succeed on my chemistry test. I'm not going to talk to mom about that. I'm going to talk to dad about that.
Yeah.
You know, or in my situation, I knew that they failed on the chemistry test because I had access to the home access center and did a horrible job of being too much in my kiddo's life.
Helicopter parent, right?
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned like the perfectionist that we have and whatnot. I think that's where we struggle also in our homes, is that even with the church, you know, a lot of people don't want to take their problems to the church, especially those who are a part of the church, who are regulars of the church, because, you know, is it because I did something wrong? Is there sin? Is there shame?
Shame, you know,
things like that. It makes it difficult for us. So, you know, encouraging people to be able to open up, even our kids, and seeing that is a great way to model. And you know, one thing that I, you know, you talk about just the nonstop, chaotic, you know, schedules that we have, you know, even with our older son, you know, I've been telling him a lot lately, you know, when we have some one-on-one time or driving in the car and whatnot, you know, I tell him that, you know, he loves to work and he loves to make money because he loves to do things, you know, and he loves cars. He loves to, like, buy things for his car. And he's really into that. And I'm like, you know, you've got to make sure also that you keep your eye on the prize and what's important to you and what your, you know, goals are, because you have your whole entire life to work. You know, even like with kids, I see, you know, the one reason why I started my own select baseball and basketball leagues is because you mentioned, like, just a minute ago, going to these tournaments and whatnot. All these select organizations, it doesn't matter what sport it is. It could be volleyball, it could be soccer, it could be anything. They play select, you know, tournaments every single weekend for weeks and weeks and weeks in a row. And if they're siblings, they get, you know, towed
dragged
around.
Along with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guilty.
So I made it a point to where we would only have a select number of select tournaments that we actually participated in. That was, you know, the dates were given in the beginning of the season. We never had back-to-back weeks, except for maybe like the very end when we had like the World Series for baseball or whatnot, to make sure that we had some off times and weekends for family time and for the other kids and to do other things. And I saw kids that would practice day after day after day, and parents would encourage that. And that's great because that's their passion and love. But I saw so many kids burn out who had so much talent because they were just spending too much time in it. So as parents, we have to also learn how to encourage, look, you know, I know you love this, but let's do this today, or let's do something different.
You know, that comes to the boy. Sherry would say to me every once in a while, on the select sports deal, she said, is that Ethan's dream or is that your dream? Right? Who's living this?
Yeah.
I mean, is he really that passionate about it, or does he just love you enough to want to see you happy and he's doing it, but really secretly inside he's actually getting burned out? And so I think that's healthy, to your point earlier, Sonia, is understanding the grid of your child. Because, I mean, I'm a sports guy. I grew up in, you know, in England and played, you know, soccer 7 days because I was passionate about it.
Yeah.
But that's not everybody's grid. And so you know, when one of my kids got interested in a sport, I'm like, I'm all in. Like, yeah, come on, I'm. But if you start thinking about dance or music or arts, it's like, well, okay, you know, I can be a little bit more objective in that because my personal passions aren't about it. And so Sherry used to say to me a lot, it's a little transparent here. She said, David, you're the grown-up here. You should know better. You're the grown-up. These are tiny humans in the process of becoming grown-ups. You're the grown-up. Act like it. And I'm like, oh, it's hard to hear, but it was truth.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, for us guys on the golf course, you know, like most guys, not all, but most guys, you know, myself included, and I haven't played golf in forever because I don't have time anymore, but I used to play golf. I was decent, but I wasn't great. But I'd have like one or two great shots per outing, which would keep me coming back, right? And it's like kind of like that with our kids. Like when we're coaching or watching or part of their sports, yeah, they have these great moments each game, and we're like, yes, 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 and we can't wait for the next one, you know. And it's like that. That's what keeps us wanting to go back all the time.
Yeah, it's insidious, right? I mean, it's just I get the golf. Same reason I was told, you know, when baby number two came along, said, no, you can't go. And I was like, babe, I got the first tee time. I'm back by 10. No. That doesn't work for you anymore. But you're right. I mean, I just, what is our, you've taken my baby steps class before, right? And I was like, well, what are your hopes and dreams for your children? And right, we get through the, oh, I hope they're going to be a nice person and they're going to get a job and they're going to leave the basement and, you know, stop playing video games. But at the end, as believers, we want them to be Christ imagers, right? That we want them to be ambassadors for the gospel. And part of that takes intentionality. And we have to, as Covey would say, you know, we got to do, quadrant two sort of stuff. I mean, we got to do important stuff. And important stuff isn't necessarily urgent stuff. And it takes some intentionality over a long period of time for us to get there. With the reality that you can, you know, parents, you can be the best parent. You can do all the right things, and your kids don't turn out the way that you want them to, or your hopes and dreams are. Even if they're the best intentions, that's just the way the Creator has it. And so I'm not here to say that if you just do ABC, you get the same result every time in a little box on the spreadsheet. That's just the way the Creator works. But you can tip the scales proportionally in that direction.
Yeah. Well, not just when you say it all the time, and there's all these books and parenting hacks and all these secrets 101, and I mean, there's thousands and thousands of books about how to be the best parent, how to do this, how to do that, and it ultimately comes down to, you know, what do you want for your family, for your kids? What are your values? Because that's what it comes down to. So what everyone else says doesn't really matter. You know your kids better than anyone else, or at least you should. It comes down to just really, you know, what's important for your household.
Yeah. And the fact that the Lord's crafting you in the process is the same way as you're hopefully crafting them.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely put kids and even my wife in my life to teach me.
To whip you into shape.
Definitely to give me some patience, you know, because I'm one of those always got on the go, got things to do. And he's still working on me heavily. Haven't gotten there yet.
You won't. I do. Yeah. Newsflash. This side of eternity, you won't.
So luckily for me, my wife has lots and lots of grace for me and whatnot. But that's one of the things that we do. We encourage families to do. We have core values on our fridge that we did as a family. Yeah. We made it real colorful. And one of the ones is asking for forgiveness, because that is key to success in life. You have to learn how to ask for forgiveness, and then you have to learn to also give grace and forgiveness. Yeah. And then life actually is really great, because otherwise, I mean, what else are you going to do?
If you think about historically what Jesus has done for us, of all the things that he did and all the things that he modeled, what did he do? He extended forgiveness through faith and belief. I mean, if that perhaps is the poster child for what he wants us to do in our relationships, and if we get good at that, I think that's a big rock on the scale of helping your children, put their faith and trust in him. So
absolutely,
it's good to do.
Well, David, thank you for joining us today for the Parents of Advocate podcast.
Thank you. I hope you
learned something today or got something from this. If you have any comments, please definitely leave those. But we look forward to seeing you next time. The Parents of Advocate, from surviving to thriving in your household.